Hi, this is Samantha Gregory with Rich Single Mama TV. Welcome to the show. Today I'm interviewing Terry L. Clay, the author of From Fab to Fearless. Terry is a single mom who has had some rough times in her life, but she's overcome that because she was determined. She made a choice to be successful, and she has now gone on to become an inspirational speaker, like I said, an author, and gives workshops on vision boards. Vision board parties, yes. They help you move forward in your life and become what you want to be. So listen to the interview now as I talk to Terry Clay about what it means to have a vision for your life as a single mother, how to be successful, and how to have the life you dreamed about. Thank you so much, and I'll see you on the other side. Bye-bye.
You're doing fabulous things. You have definitely been doing some really awesome things, the vision board parties and just going and speaking and the books, the book you've written and released, and of course your line that's, you know, kind of in line with the book. So, I mean, just tell me more about that and how things have just been working out for you over the last few months or last year, actually.
Right.
And then we'll, you know, get more into single motherhood.
Well, what I did, I wrote a book called From Fab to Fierce, and that book's on Amazon. But I really actually was having some hard difficulties, and I was still working my regular job. Let me just say that. And I was working my regular job still, and I was feeling overwhelmed working my regular job in my business. And I was like, I'm going to have to – I was praying about it, and I said, Lord, if you kill the job – you know, I'm going to stop working. But I can't just quit. And I felt like God was telling me to quit, but I just didn't feel comfortable quitting, you know, because I didn't have a savings or anything like that. And so I was like, well, if you kill the job, then I'll know you killed it. And anything that happens crazy or anything after that, I know you did it. And needless to say, I haven't worked a job since. I've never worked at my job since. And so it was right after that period when I was still working my regular job that the book came out. I wrote the book in 1 month because I was no longer going to work, so I could kind of, you know, I could kind of focus on a lot of, you know, doing my business because I wasn't going to work anymore. And so I wrote the book in a month's time, in 30 days. And but the book From Fab to Fierce, it really just came as an idea that I had got a hair. I had asked God to brand my look. And I thought that that would, you know, I never really heard of a branded motivational speaker. And I thought, well, that would be different. And I said, well, you know, he didn't give me any ideas right away. But needless to say, a little time went by. My daughter was telling me my hair was damaged. And I said, oh, well, let me just cut it off. And I had been wearing this long wig and stuff. And my hair underneath wasn't, it was still pretty long. But she was like, it was so damaged. So I cut it all off, very, very short. And then when I went home, I dyed it blonde. And so I thought, wow, this is fierce. And that whole, after that, it was the rest was history. So I just came up with a book, From Fab to Fierce, because really my look before was nothing wrong with it. It wasn't like it was, I was horrible looking. I mean, most times people said I look nice. So it wasn't anything wrong with the previous look, but which was fabulous. And so and I started thinking about how you can really accomplish your dreams. And it's sometimes to accomplish your dreams, you got to become fierce. And so the book is really an acronym for the word fierce. And it tells my story up until that point. I ain't going to say my life story because God is not definitely not through with me yet. But he told me the story of I had been a survivor of domestic violence. I had, you know, went to nursing school. I failed. Had to take it over and over again. So I went through all of these difficulties up until this point. And it was really when my business really, I started seeing a visible, I mean, I could see the difference. It was really the steps, F-I-E-R-C-E, to, which were one of the steps is fearless. And so I started to become fearless. So I started to use that word, that acronym, fierce, to help other people to accomplish their dreams because I wanted them to see what did I do differently, because I was fine before, and that's what happens is we all look at ourselves and we think we're fine, and really we have to do some other things, and we look up in our businesses not doing anything like we really wanted to do. So we have to become fierce, and so that's what the book I just utilized my look change to help other people to accomplish their dreams. And so, you know, during that period, which is ironic, that after I wrote the book, people probably don't know this. Some of the people do that. I'm very kind of transparent about my life, but I mm-hmm. lost everything after that. mm-hmm. And so I lost my house. So after I quit my job, you know, the Lord killed the job, needless to say. Mm-hmm. I lost my place. I was homeless for a little while. But it was still during that time when I was homeless and I was virtually living out of Starbucks mm-hmm. that I really started hitting it. I mean, it was just like that the lack of having mm-hmm. made me have this burning desire to make it happen. So sometimes when you really know that you're doing what you're supposed to, now, a lot of people would have taken that period and quit, you know,
yeah.
or uh-huh. said, oh, well, this could, I must have misread wrong. But my heart told me, you cannot quit. It's just like if you're wrong, you're going to have to start all over. And that, mm-hmm. I guess the fear of starting all over never let me go back, never let me quit. Mm-hmm. And that was really, really during that period when I really started getting on radio shows and people start having me come to their cities. And it just kind of took off from me just making it through one of the roughest times in my life. And so after the book was released, I started doing vision board parties. And, you know, when you are aligned with your purpose, God will give you a hint of what you're doing, what you're supposed to do. And when I look back over my life a few years, when I was in church in Kentucky, I helped kids do vision boards. And I just uh-huh. did them as, you know, just after church services. We would just make vision boards, and I would just kind of tell them how to make vision boards. And then at my same church, I would help the singles put on these singles events. So it's mm-hmm. kind of ironic that later on down the road with God, that's why God, your purpose, you can look, if you look over the course of your life, you can see your purpose.
Yeah.
I started putting those two skills together that I did just for free, really, and made, mm-hmm. start doing events called vision board parties. And really they're mostly I do, my events are for women because mm-hmm. I want to empower women. My niche is to help women be better. And one of the tools I help them with is doing vision boards. And so in 2012, we did three vision board parties, one in Atlanta, one in Atlanta, Kentucky, and Mobile, Alabama. So we did three this year. And next year we're doing, starting in January, we're going to do eight cities. So that will be, we'll be in D.C., back in Louisville, Kentucky, back in Atlanta, Milwaukee, Chicago, New York City, and Houston, and the last city will be in Runway Bay, Jamaica. And
wow.
So we're taking the vision board, my tour, to eight cities in 8 weeks. So every weekend we will be in another city doing vision boards and helping women to become empowered via the vision board tool. So that's really, you know, the gist of what I've done in the year that mm-hmm. I met you.
Yeah, and that is absolutely phenomenal, and that just goes to show that when you have a vision, you have a purpose, and you have, like you said, that burning desire, then there's nothing that can stop you regardless of the obstacles that have come your way, and homelessness
right.
and losing everything. I mean, that is just, I mean, how the average person would just simply buckle under and just go find the first job at Walmart or somewhere
mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
And not even try to move past that, because when you come against a wall, you have to find a way over it, under it, around it,
right.
anyway, but don't just stop. And I'm so
right.
glad that, you know, you have that kind of tenacity to keep moving forward regardless
right.
of the walls, that, because those walls really are just illusions. It's just, you know, a distraction to make
right.
you
exactly.
want to give up.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So, and it, with all of that, and you're no stranger to hardship, because
no.
you have been a single mother. You've been in some really rough spots. And so
mm-hmm.
do you mind sharing that with the audience and letting them know what some of the things that you went through as a single mom and how you made it through that period in your life?
Yeah, I had my children all by the time I was 21 years old, so I really was very young as a teenage mother. And but by the time me and my children's father broke up, I was had been homeless, survivor of domestic violence, and we had lived in two homeless shelters as well as one spouse abuse center. So that was just about 21 years old, and I had four children. So, I mean, that was a rough period. And but, you know, when it's kind of funny that I can tell a new story when I tell people, because that wasn't as hard as my what happened after the fact. So you never know what – sometimes you go through these hard patches and you never know what you're building up to. It helped you make it through the next period. But after me and my children got away from my kid's father, I went to nursing school. And in nursing school, I was lied on in nursing school by a Caucasian lady. She was being racist. My town, Kentucky, can be kind of you may have some hard times between African Americans and Caucasians sometimes. Not saying everybody's like that, but it was very difficult here for me. And so I was discriminated against by two instructors, not just one. One lied on me, and then after her, after they didn't proceed to get me out because I fought. I mean, I really fought to get back in the program. And when I got back in, her friend did something to me, and I got put out of the program again. So they were really kind of ganging up on me, but they couldn't get me down. I mean, I wasn't going to let them win. I was determined that I was going to graduate. And I did, and that determination, actually, it set me up from what happened, you know, when I lost everything after the fact. So you just never know what you're going to have to. It's just, I used to do these interviews, and I would just talk about my original story before I had lost everything the second time. I never realized that sometimes you go through this rough patch so that you can handle something later. See, I'm a motivational speaker, and I'm not saying that this is everybody's purpose. Continue to go through things, but I'm a motivational speaker, so I have to go through these things to help other people. That's just my purpose. But if I didn't go through anything, then people wouldn't necessarily relate to me. You know, I think that if you want to talk about politics, for example, Romney's wife got up, and a lot of times they talk, for example, they talked about how, you know, she has money and this and that, and a lot of people are angry with them because they feel that they don't relate. That's not necessarily my opinion, but I'm just saying they don't feel like they relate. Right. And so what I'm saying all this to say is that because I went through the fire and I went through hard times, then I feel people feel like, oh, well, if she can do it, then I can do it, you know.
Right.
So a lot of times God allows you to go through something so that people can feel comfortable or feel the push to go through what you went through.
Right, and be encouraged, too.
Yes.
They saw that you have gone through it. You survived. You are now at a point, at a high point in your life, so they can do the same thing if they take their minds to it. And move forward, and even if they have to use you as the pattern to live their life after for a while until they find their own way, then that's just as good until, you know, they get to the point where they can stand up on their own and just move forward and find their own purpose and strength as well.
Exactly.
So as a single parent, you know, I'm one, you're one, your children are now older now, and one of the questions that a lot of single mothers are dealing with right now, or issues they're dealing with right now, is their finances. Child support is not enough, or they're working in a job that doesn't pay enough, and so they're really struggling. And so what was life like for you as a single mom and dealing with finances and budgeting and making ends meet, and, you know, so just so you and your children could have a life where you knew where your next meal was going to come from.
Right. Well, that was it. I mean, the journey of me having children, when me and my children's father first broke up, I actually went to the projects to live. public housing in the hood. I actually grew up in middle-class neighborhood, so I wasn't accustomed to that, so it was new for me. But we moved into the hood, and, you know, it was hard. And I was, one minute I would quit my job and go back to school, and then it would be hard. And that it would be, you know, I would quit my job, go back to school, and then it was, we couldn't make it, you know. Then I would have to cut my hours again in school and then go back to work. And so we did this pattern. It took me 10 years to become a nurse, and that was why, because we would be broke again, and then I didn't have the money, so I would have to go back to work. And it just, you know, it was hard. And, you know, sometimes I would say, and this is what I guess I've learned, the lesson I learned was that it probably would have been better for me just to have tough it out, even though if we were having hard times, to tough it out and go ahead and get through, because I could have got finished in 4 years instead of stretching it out over 10 years. But that's just a lesson that I learned after the fact. You know, I was so concerned about my kids being uncomfortable, but they still were uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? We weren't really comfortable in any either way. And so, but I would go back and get a job because I didn't, you know, I wanted them to be able to have toys for Christmas, stuff like that, I think if they had just we could have just toughed out those few years and just not had money. Because when I finally said, you know what, I'm going to graduate, that's what happened anyway. We ended up, my electricity got cut off for 4 months. My water was cut off at the same time, and we ended up staying over a friend's house, and, you know, so we end up having to tough it out anyway. So that's why I would just, you know, say to people that if you really, whatever you got to do to get out, if that's, you know, if it's starting your own business or, you know, if you're going to school or whatever, I just tough it out, because your kids, yourself, whoever, you will be fine. Even if it's, because if you look at people, just read up on stories of successful people or failures, you will see that sometimes to get the prize, you have to endure the hardship. You know what I'm saying? Even though it doesn't seem like, oh, a lot of people, some people don't want their kids to go through anything, but they're resilient.
Yes,
you know?
They are.
They'll be okay.
I could testify to that. I definitely went through that period of quote unquote poverty when I was in school full time and working, you know, barely making minimum wage and everything. And so that was a rough time for us. And you know, Section 8 housing and food stamps, all those things. But but I knew that it was temporary and that I had the ability with every breath I took each day to start over and to move forward and toward a better tomorrow for myself and my children.
Exactly.
So that, I mean, I think it was a 3-year journey for me in school. But it all panned out because I was willing to sacrifice comfort for a little while in order to get the big reward later on.
Exactly.
So, that's absolutely awesome. At this point, I would love to hear your words of wisdom and advice for single mothers who are thinking about striking out on their own as far as a business is concerned or a side hustle. What can you tell them about, you know, the process, some of the decisions that they have to make in order to begin on their own as a business owner or as just someone who's trying to make a little extra money on the side?
One thing I would really say is you have to invest in yourself, because I think sometimes people don't feel the need or to invest in yourself, because you have to learn. Entrepreneurship is not necessarily like going to college and getting a degree in, you know, nursing, for example. Entrepreneurship, you have to pay for people that have gone before you to teach you how to do things. So that's how you learn. What I've learned is sometimes a lot of entrepreneurs, they don't want to invest in themselves. They don't want to learn. They don't want to learn what they need to learn, you know, or go out of their way to learn what they need to learn. So one main goal is to invest in yourself and become knowledgeable. If nothing else, read books. Keep yourself, keep your head very around positive people. Oh, my gosh, that's just like, but you got to keep around people, because entrepreneurship, I'm telling you, it brings out the claws in people. And I'm not sure why that is, but it does. It brings out the claws in people. When I went to school, I didn't have haters like I do now. So, and maybe because it's just a different different thing, or, you know, I'm not for sure why so much.
Mm-hmm.
But because it is a different world, then you have to surround yourself in the world of people who get it, get mm-hmm. the entrepreneurship. So don't have the people bring it in your ear, this is not going to happen. Oh, I wouldn't do that if it was me. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
lot of people that are going to be singing negativity in your ear. And so I would definitely say invest in yourself. Keep yourself around positive people. There are other entrepreneur people. There are like groups of entrepreneur women or whatever. I would just definitely be around those people. I was so and I lived in Kentucky. I didn't find as many entrepreneurs in Kentucky. Not that they're not here. I just didn't find them until I moved to Atlanta. And mm-hmm. I remember going to this women's entrepreneur group, and there were other people telling people to get a real job. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I was almost about to cry because I had heard get a real job. And mm-hmm. so when I heard that it wasn't just me hearing that, I was like, wow, you know, I know I'm okay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you want to be around other people that are, you know, doing what you want to do. And, you know, so I would say, and I would say kind of do some research, but I don't want to focus on doing research so much in advance, because sometimes we can do so much preparation
and we
just want to prepare, and we'll be years trying to get ready. And
mm-hmm.
I don't work like that. I may be wrong, but this is how I just do it. I just step out there and I learn
mm-hmm.
along the way. When I started doing motivational speaking, I did start speaking at Toastmasters. But what I did was I went to Toastmasters, just practiced a few speeches. But then I thought, I'm not going to sit here and start practicing so much. What I'm going to do is I'm going to practice out there, meaning I would just
mm-hmm.
go and ask the church, can I come tell my testimony, just like that.
Right.
And I would
mm-hmm.
practice on real people, you know, whether I didn't get paid, may not get paid for it at first, but I would practice just doing it. And so sometimes you have to learn along the way, you know, and
mm-hmm.
because what a lot of times when you're afraid to do something, you want to prepare and make sure things are just so perfect. There's no perfect way to start. Just do it, you know. Trust. You will find what you need to know along the way. And, you know, like with God, and when you step out on faith and do something, it's just like a GPS.
Mm-hmm.
A GPS doesn't tell you to turn left until you get to the corner. So that's the way, you know, that's how I do with faith and work with my entrepreneurship. I just start walking and start working with what I know, and then, you know, like I said, when I get to the corner, then it just comes up with the next move. So, you know, I would say prepare somewhat. I mean, if you don't know anything about what you want to do, then, you have to prepare. But I'd say just do it. You know, just step out on faith and trust me, God will lead the way. And another thing I would like to say, that anything, even if it gets rough and crazy looking, honestly, if you know in your heart that God told you to do this, this is what you are here to do,
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, don't let none of that distract you or deter you. Because even though I had a lot of faith, I would have moments where I would say, this is starting to get so crazy
mm-hmm.
that I got to be wrong. And I
yeah.
just, you know, I wanted to believe that, but something in my heart said, no, you're not wrong. And I just couldn't stop. And if that is the same situation with you, if something is still saying go ahead on anyway,
mm-hmm.
even though it looks crazy, and matter of fact, just, you know, looking crazy doesn't mean wrong. But
right.
that's why you have to keep those positive people around you, because that's the time when the negative people are going to say, see what I'm telling you? I'm telling you ain't
mm-hmm.
supposed to do it. I know that
mm-hmm.
you ain't supposed to, you know, and that may be the time you have to let those people go. I had a very close friend that I was friends with for 20 years, but because she was so negative, I had to let her go, because I could not walk in my purpose and hear those messages, because it was looking crazy, and I was doubting on my own somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
So I sure didn't need nobody ringing in my ear, but I'm already thinking partially. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So I had to, you know, I knew I needed somebody that was going to say, girl, that's, you know, just keep on pushing,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you're going to have moments, I don't care how strong your faith is, that you may doubt, oh, am I right? I'm, you know, and so I had to let that person go. So there may be times when you have to let those people go that are ringing that negative message in your ear. So.
And that's so correct. And not just for business, but that's in life in general. If you want to get ahead, if you want to reach your death purpose and destiny and become the best person you are meant to be, then you have to let negative people go.
Right.
Those girls, you know, as far as women are concerned, your girls, those women who you think have your back or whatever, when you start moving towards something better, then, you know, some of them are going to try to hold you back. Some of them are going to make you feel like you're, or you think you're better than us. Yeah.
Right.
So,
you never said none of that stuff. Where'd that come from?
Exactly. Right. And so just the company you keep, you know, is definitely a stamp of your own identity. And if you want to, you know, have a better stamp, a nice golden embossed stamp of identity, you got to go and be with people who are reaching those same type of dreams and goals that you wanted to reach for.
Right.
So you're absolutely 100% right. I wanted to ask you about the vision boards. I know I've done them myself, and I know you've done the parties and everything, but can you tell the listeners what the main purpose of doing a vision board is for? Because I think
I always, my whole thing, I saw the movie The Secret. I don't know if, you know, this book movie came out for those who have never heard of it, but it was, you know, a bestseller, so a lot of people have. And I saw this movie about The Secret, and this guy, he had actually put a house on a vision board that he had wanted. And, and years later, he looked up and he was living in the house on the vision board.
Yeah.
And it comes in my, what the way I teach it at my parties is the Bible says to write the vision and make it plain. And he said, it may tarry, but if you wait for it, it will surely come. And at the vision board parties, what we do is we write the vision clearly and make it plain. And a vision board is just a board, piece of cardboard that you put pictures of things that you want that are in your hopes and your dreams, how you see yourself being or where you see yourself going. And you put pictures of that. It could be a car, my vision board, I have an Escalade, it's my next car. I have a penthouse, you know, I want to live in a penthouse in Buckhead. And, you know, so those are certain places that I see myself being. And what you, and what the value of a vision board is you put those pictures on a board, and then you put them somewhere, like in your house. And actually what we're going to do this year, we're going to cut the boards this year, we're going to make them a little smaller. And the reason why I want to make them smaller, because we're not always at our house. And so what I'm going to do is make them the size of a board so you can put them in your purse or take them, put them in your car and just, you know, when you're having a rough moment, you can pull it out and say, okay, this is my goal here, you know. And so the key to having a vision board is that you write in the vision and you make it a real plain of how you want those things in your life. And because you wrote the vision and made it plain, the Bible says if you wait for it, it will come. And it may tarry, it may take a little bit, but it's going to come. And so we teach four steps. And that first is asking, just, you know, asking, just putting it out there. So those pictures are a form of asking. Are not just pictures. You can put words. I have myself getting married on my vision board, a wedding dress, you know, just those are clear things that I want or see myself having. You know, you could also put words, love, you know, because you want love in your life, friends, you want friends in your life, just those type of things that you want, that you're just putting out there, you're asking it. And then the next step is to believe. So not only can you just ask, and it's no need in just not believing in those things that you want. So you have to believe that you can have those things. So I can have that husband, or I can have the car or the Escalade or whatever, whatever you want. And the next step that I teach is, they don't teach this in a secret, but I teach it in my class, is to act. Because the Bible also says faith without works is dead. So not only, you know, you can't just have a board and just having to look up in your room or in your purse and just looking, and then as soon as something comes up, you don't act on it. No, you're not going to get it. So, you know, it's null and void. So you have to also act. And like example, last year at one of my vision board parties, I had a girl that came with a pair of Louis Vuitton shoes that she had put on her vision board the year before. And what this girl did was she had saw this contest on Twitter, and she she had put it on her vision board, and then she was like, oh, my gosh, I know I'm going to win these shoes because this is on my vision board. Mm-hmm. So what she did was she entered the contest, so she acted. Yes. she had yes. to enter the contest in order. Mm-hmm. Even the opportunity came. So cause she yes. asked, she acted. So the opportunity came to her, but then she had to act by entering the contest. And then the last step is to receive. And she received the shoes. So that's the same steps and processes we go for everything in having the vision board. You have to ask, believe, act, mm-hmm. and receive. And mm-hmm. once you do those four steps, the things that you want in your life will come to you. So that's really the whole gist of having the vision boards. And like this year at my vision board party, we're going to do things a little different than we did last year. Not only are we going to have vision boards, but our theme this year, our theme is Come As You Will Be in 5 years. And uh-huh. so this year, not only will we write the vision and make it plain and have vision boards, but we will also dress and be who we will be in 5 years, not who we are today, who we are right. in 5 years. And then that whole night we'll speak as though it's 5 years later. So it's the same clarity of writing the vision and making it plain. Mm-hmm. So that's
beautiful, because that's just reinforcing it like three times. You have to write it, and then you'll see it, and then you act in it. And so that's really getting right in your subconscious mind and make so you believe, yes, this is who I am. Not just now, but in 5 years, this is who I am, and moving
right.
forward in that. And so, yeah, right. there is no, there's no choice, other choice, but to become what you already see yourself as.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, Terry, that is just phenomenal. I am so happy to hear about all the great things you're doing, and how you have just move up and forward in life, and bringing people along with you as you
yes,
go out and
yes.
encourage and you motivate through your words, through your book, through the vision board parties. I know that 2013 is going to be just absolutely out of this world for you. So I
Thank
am
you so,
so
much.
Happy you took the time to come and to just talk with me, chat with me a little bit, and so that others can hear how a single mom was able to move from a very bad relationship, domestic violence, homelessness, trials and tribulations in nursing school, and then homelessness again, and then finally moving into your destiny and your purpose so that you can be light and salt in this world to other people.
Right. Exactly.
So thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to share with us? Again, where we can find your book, your website, and just your contact information online.
Okay. My book is on Amazon. It's From Fab to Fierce, and that's on Amazon, From Fab to Fierce. You also can contact me on Facebook. I am T. Clay, I-S, on Facebook, so Terry L. Clay on Facebook. And Terry is spelled T-E-R-R-I. L. Clay, and that's on Facebook. I'm also Terry Clay on Twitter, and I have a website. Let me just say this, put it out there, because my website is live, but it's only live just for because people want to glance at it. But for some reason, my first page of my website got totally erased, and my web designers are in the process of recreating the front page that got erased. But I still want to give you the website out there. It's www.terryclay.com. You can kind of look through it anyway, you know, and see the other pages are still pretty good, but it's just the first page that's kind of messed up.
Okay.
But you all can still check that out. And like I said, if you're in any of those cities, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Georgia, Louisville, Kentucky, Milwaukee, Chicago, Houston, in New York City, where you can come to those vision board parties. We still have some room in the Jamaica vision board party trip. And you can check out the Jamaica Vision Board Party trip on Eventbrite as well. And it's also on my website, the link okay. to that. And so we'd love to have you come out. The Jamaica Vision Board Party trip is not till the 22nd of February. It's 4 days in Runway Bay, Jamaica. And we'll be renting a mansion. It has maid service. It has a pool boy, a pool. We have mm-hmm. a driver to take us to the city. I mean, it's just going to be a really nice time. And that's called our Destination Vision Board Party. And it's the finale of the Vision Board Party Tour. And mm-hmm. we're also looking for sponsors. We have Title I sponsor. We have all sorts of sponsors that you can even get put your ads in the books for the program. There'll be a program okay. that we pass now in all 8 cities. So it's okay. all sorts of ways that I wanted to help people to come with me. You know, if they can't make it, they can just at least promote their business in the programs. You know, nothing else.
Excellent. Sounds awesome. And I'll have all your information on my website when
okay.
I post this recording and this conversation, so that people will still have all the links, have all the information, and can point them to all of your resources.
Alrighty.
So, again, I appreciate you being on the call with me. I, again, wish you all the very best in the world, and I know that you're going to come back in 2 or 3 years and with even bigger stories to tell. So I'm
definitely
looking
forward to
that.
Can't wait.
All right, then. Well, you take care, and I'm going to say goodbye right now, and I will talk to you a little later, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.